So wonderful to see all of you and to be here today. As Kristen said, my name is Mark Cushman. I serve as a professor at Concordia University in St. Paul. I've been doing that for 10 plus years, and I have really, really loved working with college students and connecting not just at our Lutheran Concordia University schools, but really beyond as well. I've had experiences at Jesuit schools, other Lutheran universities that aren't in the LCMS, state schools, and some other private colleges. So I'm just really invested in this, and I'm just excited to connect with you. And I really want it to be interactive as best we can, since I know these days can get pretty long with the workshops, of thinking through what your life will look like in college, and then also how to share your faith. So it's helpful at the beginning, at the front end, for me to just get to know a little bit about all of you in the audience. So I'd love to hear, or just kind of raise your hand if you know for sure that you're, you've kind of picked your college already and you're off and ready to go, nice and high, just so I kind of get a sense of, okay, several of you, all right. Those of you who haven't even begun to think about college, any there? Okay, a couple, all right. And then let's see, anyone in college right now? Okay, a couple. And let's see, those of you who are all set and going to college, are you going to, those of you who are going to a Christian school, I'm just curious, like a one that's a Christian university, okay? And then others of you, like state schools, or raise your hand if you're doing a state school. Okay, all right, and then there's a whole host, I mean, there's a lot of different types of universities anymore. And then we got some youth leaders, right? Probably some pastors, some DCEs, some adult chaperones. So welcome, and so glad to have all of you here. Well, I want to be able to answer some of your specific questions. We just had a session earlier. The room was packed of just thinking through what college looks like. I did start, though, just a little bit personally. I'm really excited about three things. So I grew up in Chicago, so I like Chicago deep dish pizza. Anyone from Chicago? Yes. All right. We had just one last and we got three here. Okay. I made a really side remark about a snide comment about Emo's pizza. Before I make my comment, anyone from St. Louis who likes Emo's pizza? Oh, good. Okay. Just you. All right. All right. So I don't really like it. And I said that out loud and like a whole row erupted in fury. And I was like, okay, not a good way to start your youth gathering talk. So I'm not thrilled about Emo's pizza because it's like a saltine cracker with like, you know, Velveeta cheese on top. And it's just, I like thick, deep Chicago pizza. I like Ultimate Frisbee. And I've shared, had a lot of faith conversations with people playing Ultimate Frisbee in college. And then the third thing about me is I just really love talking to people and connecting, and I want to be a resource for each of you. So my last slide will have a my email address. So if you want like to think through, if you're like, I need just help knowing like what campus ministry to connect to when I'm in college, just send me a quick note. You can just email me and I'll put you in touch with someone, since I'm pretty well networked across the higher education space, as we like to say, or kind of the colleges and universities across the country. But I really want you to be connected. And I've got at least one who's coming to CSP next year. Anyone else coming to Concordia St. Paul? All right. All right, get to work. We've got work to do. So before you leave, you're not allowed to go off to lunch until you, you know, sign up for a CSP thing. No, that's not true. But in any case, the title is Beyond the Youth Group, Living and Sharing Faith in College. So we're not going to get into the nuts and bolts of like apologetics, so to speak, though I do have a really helpful way of thinking through apologetics. What I want us to really be positioning for and thinking about today is kind of an approach to how we interact with others in a university setting, and how you can be strengthened in your faith, and how you can share that with others. I'll open with some slides, and then I have some questions for all of you. So college is what I describe as a threshold moment, meaning like it's an opportunity, like a new opportunity for each of you for kind of thinking through the big questions of life. And so here are some of the questions that you might be experiencing. Who will you be? I'm terrible about, I would rather I ask the question, who will you be? But oftentimes I say, what are you going to do? I don't know if you've had this, but people are always like, what are you going to do? What are you going to major in? And that can be kind of off-putting. I'm usually just a curious person. I'm just curious, like, what are they going to study? But you're like, what if you haven't decided? So some of you might be a little bit nervous, like, I don't know what I'm going to study. Or maybe you're going to change your mind. My brother changed his mind a couple of times. And, you know, he was always just kind of like, why do people always like feel like I have to stay to the same topic? And we're not just like what you do, right? So a better question is, who will I be? So kind of the roadmap here of college as a threshold opportunity is to think through, who am I? What do I believe? What is my purpose? What should I do? And what is my community? Related to this, then, is sometimes the question, will you lose your faith in college? It was great to hear after the last session, there are a couple of people came up to me and said how they found their faith in college, which I think was extraordinary. But there's a lot of bad press sometimes about colleges and universities that you're going to lose your faith in college. And Barna has a study out that says 70% of young people in college are going to lose their faith. And I'm sure there's bearing in those statistics, but I think it only tells a fraction of the story. So what I want to try to do today is to equip you so you're able to not lose your faith in college, but also you can better understand what faith life looks like on college and how you can better share that faith with others. So to get us started, I want to kind of get a little bit more of a sense of the room. I'd like you to turn to the people next to you and kind of in groups. And I'd like you to share, like, what is one thing that you're either worried about or concerned about when you think about college? Whether you think about, and it doesn't have to be faith related, it can be. But what is it that you like, top of your list? This is what I'm worried about, or this is what I want answered in this session. And share with a little bit with each other, and I'll kind of walk around, and then we'll share with the whole group a couple, and we'll just get a little bit of dialogue going back and forth on that topic. So what is it that you're most worried about? What is it that you want to learn? And we'll then dive into it. All right. Some of these things, all of this is about preparing for your whole life. I mean, sometimes people say, you know, once college is done, then you get into the real world. I don't really like that phrase, because you are in the real world right now. All of us are. And in addition to that, when you're in college, when done well, the goal of college is to prepare you for the real world. So everything you've lifted up is what is going to be a question for you as a young adult and to an adult for the rest of your life. How do you find community? And then if you get married and have a family, how do you find community for your family? Right? These are questions that we need to be thinking through. How do you not be so overwhelmed and so busy and stressed that you can actually prioritize your faith and enjoy life? How can you actually also have time to then serve others? So much of what we're thinking through is really thinking about your whole of life and not just the college years. But the college years, as I said, are that threshold moment where kind of all first starts to come together, because for many of you, it might be the first time that you're away from home and first time that you're really on your own and making all these independent decisions. I felt that I knew a little bit about finance when I was in high school. You know, I had a checking account and could do a couple things. In college, I had to worry about things like, you know, insurance for the first time and like paying bills. You know, I don't know how many times I called my dad, like, I need help figuring this out, you know? So college is going to kind of prompt you to really have to be, you know, independent and really be attentive to all those different things and to really own your faith. And the most critical piece of this is to know that who owns you, right? That God owns you and has claimed you as his own in your baptism. So you have a sure and certain foundation. You have a grounding, but how do you not feel, you know, kind of swayed with the winds that you might experience when you're in college? So one more slide on this topic, and then we'll kind of start thinking through how do we, you know, move forward given kind of this, all the series, different series of questions is. One of my hopes is that when you leave today, you are become no longer afraid of the challenge or afraid of what, you know, I'm describing here as the shipwreck metaphor. Whether we like it or not, and we don't like it, like, we will all be confronted with some pretty tough challenges in life. My sense is probably all of you have had some really hard moments already and seen some real tragic things and just experienced a lot. Again, college isn't really different than that. It's just simply, hopefully, preparing you to better engage that for your entire adult life. But you have these shipwreck moments. And sometimes when you have a shipwreck moment, you kind of just retreat or you pretend, you kind of forget about it, or you're really afraid of them. And what I want us to recognize just by calling it out is that, you know, we are going to be challenged. There are things that are going to happen in our life. There's things in college that you're going to experience that are going to be really, really difficult. And you might be pushed in a way that you've never been before. You might have an encounter with someone, like an experience, or interact with someone who's very, very different than you. So how are you going to navigate that? And here's an example of a ship that did not navigate that so well. Anyone know what ship this is? I try to tie it in with our theme. It's not the Titanic. Go for it. Yes, the Endurance. Very good. Shackleton's ship, when he was, and it got stuck in Antarctica. The ship itself was named the Endurance and didn't quite endure. So, the metaphor of shipwreck can be used to describe times when young adults, but really any of us, experience something unexpected and disappointing or engaging questions that challenge the way they make meaning. Their world begins to change, even to fall apart, right? And so you've probably had these moments in high school, right? And then, you know, for sure there'll be these moments, sometimes they're small ones that feel huge. Sometimes they're really big and devastating. One such example, I think a couple of you spoke to it, like, what if you don't like your major, or, you know, what does your future look like? There was one time I was teaching class and a student, she just stayed afterwards and she was very emotional, and she and the concern was she had just found out before class that she was cut from the soccer team, and because her performance wasn't where it needed to be. And as a result, she lost her scholarship. And so, you know, what she thought was going to be a great season turned out not to be. And so for those of you who are adult leaders, I think it's always helpful, who are here, to always, you know, be both attentive and asking like the question behind the question, because it's like, the student was not very engaged in class. Well, afterwards, it's pretty apparent why she was not very engaged in class. And so providing that pastoral care for her was something that, you know, at the Concordias, we're well equipped to do. What I know many of you are asking for is, how do you receive that even when you're at a different school that isn't a Lutheran school? And one way is the LCMSU connections or your Lutheran congregation near you. So the slide I have here is that the opposite of faith isn't doubt. It is fear. If this was a longer class, then we would maybe discuss this or debate this, whether this quote is true or not. But I think there's something to it. We often think that the opposite of faith is doubting, and that I need to not doubt but have faith. And I actually think that sometimes we need to work through our doubt, be honest about our doubt. And that the fear is that we're afraid of losing something. And when you're really tight, if you want to take a moment, like, hold your fist really tight. Can you all do this for me? This is a youth gathering. You're like, we can hold our fist really tight, right? Or are you going to be able to hold? And so if you hold your fist like this, and I were to give you a bunch of, I don't know, what would you like M&Ms or something, right? You won't be able to receive them, right? But if you cup your hands, right, then you'll be able to receive them, right? So, I mean, I think there's just this tendency in our life, and our faith life can be like this too. My hope is that we don't become too brittle of kind of holding on too tightly, and that fear can hold us, make us be really, really brittle. If you open your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to John chapter 1, because this image is just a beautiful one of Jesus, and he says this phrase over and over and over again, come and see, and he has this open-handed response. And so as you're thinking about, how are you going to live out your faith in college, and how are you going to share this faith? A open hand is an open hand, right? And that is a welcome, and that's a gracious opportunity to connect. If you're, you know, when people are angry, they're holding on tight. And so we want to get to that point of being really open. I'd like us to read John chapter 1, and it's the story of, and I'm going to ask my future student here to read it. If you can read John chapter 1, I think starting at verse 19. It's when Jesus calls the first disciples after the testimony of...
Yeah, 19 through...
Where? Actually, start with... where are we at? Yeah, 35. Yeah.
And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither in Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one who do not know, even who even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing.
Thank you. And if you stay in your Bibles and you look down the line, then we'll say the next scene is this beautiful scene. And John the Baptist will say, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Right. And so the next chapter, I mean, I just want you to see like how it's built up, how the texts are built out. And behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You have this beautiful baptism imagery that's coming through strong in John. And that, I believe, is the place to start when you think about, are you afraid of losing your faith in college? Well, no, because I mean, we might feel this, right? But no, your Lord, your Savior, Jesus Christ has held you and holds you and will hold you fast. Your baptism is going to sustain you in all the challenges of life. So that, I think, is you're moving then from a place of strength to then one of openness and opportunity. So behold, the Lamb of God, we know who we're pointing to. We point to Jesus. And then I need one more reader. We're going to skip to a couple of verses down the line. Would someone be willing to read for me up here, maybe near where I am? Would you be willing to? Okay, awesome. And then why don't you start with right here, verse 35. Jesus calls the first disciples.
To what?
That whole section up to like right there.
The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter."
Thank you so much. All right. Notice how quickly this is actually kind of extraordinary, right? From the beginning of our reading, right? They think that they're asking around and they think John the Baptist, like, who is he and what's that? And we end from that to John pointing to behold the Son of God or behold the Lamb of God to Jesus. And then we didn't read the passage, but it's the baptism of Jesus where the Spirit descends upon Jesus and the heavens are opened and you have this beautiful acknowledgement of who Jesus is as the Savior of the world. And then it's the next day that then these disciples, some of Jesus' disciples were probably John's disciples, and that's the one that we just read here, and it's, well, there he is. There's Jesus, and Jesus' response is one of invitation. Come and see. They're just asking, where are you going to stay? And he's like, come and you will see. When you read this, that phrase will pop up again later in John. And it's very clear. It's not just come and see where I'm going to live tonight. It's come and you will see what God is doing. And that's why I want you to, as you think about your life in college, your life in the university setting, but even beyond, right? Come and see what God is doing and how he's making your life new and how he's going to use you to then do exactly what happened with Andrew, because Andrew was, you know, part of this conversation, and he goes and grabs which person in his family? The one that we all know about. We don't know as much about Andrew. We know a lot about Peter. Right. And so Andrew gets his brother Peter, and Peter is the one who then comes to Jesus, and they say, this is the Messiah. You know, Andrew's like, we found the Messiah. Look at how quick they've gone from not knowing anything to like a couple passages. And all of a sudden, we're talking about Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who's the Messiah. And Andrew's introducing his brother. And then Andrew, the next passage, we won't take the time to read it now, grabs Nathaniel. And then before you know it, all these people are following Jesus because he's the one who has this grand story, this grand mission, this grand purpose for them, and is going to enable them and equip them to continue to bring about healing and the good news of the gospel in the world. And so that's what I hope that we're able to do as well today, is kind of come and you will see. And now how do we live this out in college? I have this phrase here that I've been starting to use a lot more frequently because it seems to resonate with people. It says, Christ is not at the end of the tunnel, but the torch that guides your way. And so I think sometimes we have this approach when we think about college. You think like, I either just want to graduate and I want to get through, or I want to, like, it's going to be so scary and dangerous and I'm going to lose my faith, or like all these people are going to say all these things and I'm not sure what I'm going to do and I just need to push through. And instead, my hope for you is to think of Christ as your light, the torch that is going to guide the way, it's going to go with you. And I think there you'll see so many awesome opportunities for engagement. Let me give you one right now. I saved this story for later when I did my presentation earlier this morning, but I think it's fitting right now. So when I was a freshman in college, I was at a Lutheran university, a Christian school, but we had a variety of different faiths in the classroom. And in one of my classes, we had a rather outspoken atheist, and he was such a pest. He was constantly arguing against me, and he was just constantly like saying things, and he would swear in class. And I mean, he really ruffled my feathers. And so I was pretty irritated with him. And I was also I also just knew that I was right about everything, you know, and this actually does happen. Those of you who are professors, like, oh my goodness, you get some incoming students and like, you just know everything. Okay. So I was one of those students. I knew everything. And this guy was clearly wrong about everything. And I wanted my professor to just stick it to him and tell him that like, he was wrong. My professor did not do that. My professor said, you need to take him out to lunch. And I'm like, what? I really could not stand this guy. Like, he really bothered me. He's still kind of like, ugh, no, not really. So I took him out to lunch, just in the cafeteria. But I had to move from this position, right, of, you know, frustration, to one of like, it was more just kind of like, fine, we're stuck here together, you know, like, but he was like in an assignment. And I don't know if he could really, now I'm a professor, I don't know if he could really have enforced this, but I was always a very diligent student. So he said to do it. So I did it. And the other guy came with me and we spent like 2 hours having lunch on a Friday. I can still remember the lunch. I can still remember the cafeteria. And he just shared about his life. And I had the fortitude. The only thing that I did well was that I didn't say much. I just sat there and let him tell his story. And I say this because I think that's a posture that can be really helpful for us in our Christian faith, is that even if you, whether you feel like you know a lot about your Christian faith or not much about it, to start with conversation is key. And he was able to share a lot more about, actually, he seemed to be much more interested in God and spirituality and just thinking through his life. But he had a lot of hard things happen in his life. And all that started to come out because I had taken the time. I get no credit for it. I was forced by my professor to have this lunch. But it happened and it made a difference. So hopefully your professor doesn't have to require you to do this. But you can, I mean, one of my tips, I've got some tips at the end, is for you to like take someone out who you wouldn't maybe typically hang out with. And if you want to share your faith with them, the starting point isn't to say, hey, here's the 5 things you need to know or you're going to hell. Instead, start with like, well, just tell me about your life and sit with them and interact with that person. And that's that posture of come and see, right? And it's modeled for us by Jesus. And then here we have this phrase, Christ is the light, not at the very end, but the torch that guides your way. The other phrase that I like to use quite a bit is that the gospel means good news, and good news is for people with real problems. So it's a photograph of a confessional booth here in Louisiana, here in New Orleans, after Hurricane Katrina, 2005. And it's a little Catholic parish, so a confessional booth. And I think the image is supposed to be this way, though I've also now started to wonder if, like, is this the floor or is it the ceiling? You really get kind of sucked into the image, and I don't entirely know. But the reason I lift it up is there's nothing pretty about this image. In many ways, and there's nothing beautiful or pretty about the horrific thing that happened in Katrina in 2005. And there's nothing pretty about a confessional booth, right? It's just, and yet, as Riley said so well, right? Jesus shows up there. Like, that's exactly where God is. And so I lift this up as like, your life in college is going to have some great moments, some hard moments. You're going to make some really great choices. And sadly, unfortunately, you might also make some really bad choices. And I think this image hopefully can kind of be seared in your mind, at least, of like, and yet in the middle of that, Jesus Christ died for you to redeem you, to save you, and to call you as his own, and how beautiful that message is, and how you can then share that with others. So I said that one of my favorite phrases is the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news for people with real problems, but it is helpful because it is true. This is a quote from a pastor that I know really well in New York City. But it's helpful because it's true, not the other way around. One comes before the other. The gospel is an objective word, meaning that it comes from God, that has subjective power, meaning it can hit us in a personal, subjective way. So what does this objective gospel look like? Most importantly, it is outside of us. Jesus died for our sins, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead so we might become children of God, no longer subject to his just wrath and condemnation. The gospel points to Jesus and his work alone, that he died for our transgressions and was raised for our justification. It is specific, our Christian faith is specific and historic, having to do with what happened on a first century cross outside Roman-occupied Jerusalem. To the question, when were you saved? I love this response. We can answer with a hearty assurance, 2,000 years ago on a hill outside of Jerusalem. That's when we were saved. And that's what continues to give us hope and faith and perseverance and endurance in the days ahead. So with that confidence of who God is and who Christ is, I now am turning to this section, 40 Tips for College. And I was inspired by this. And then I'm going to show a couple slides. I really do have 40. Well, I have 40 tips. I've kind of cut it back a little bit because that was a lot to go over. It's 40. We're not going to go through every single one. But I do have a couple highlights. And then I'll turn the rest of our time to Q&A and give you a chance to say, hey, on this page, this is what I want to talk about. So I'll let you pick which one to talk about. But there's two books that are pretty fascinating. One is by Aurora Griffin, who's a conservative Catholic who went to Harvard. She writes a really great book, and her book was called How I Stayed Catholic at Harvard. And then she goes through 40 practices for how to maintain your faith while in college. And then Cal Newport, have any of you read him? He's kind of like isn't overly thrilled with all the social media usage and technology use. And it's kind of like an old school perspective of saying that paper is a really good way for us to think about life, and we shouldn't be so distracted. We should be focused. But he has this book that's quite good called How to Win at College: Surprising Secrets for Success from the Country's Top Students. He interviews students on their success and what their tips are for them. So here's some ideas to inspire you as far as how you think about maintaining your Christian faith while on a college campus. So I'll read these, and then if there's one I would like everyone to vote or shout out, how should we do it? We can shout out. I'd like to get everyone shouting. Shout out which one is your favorite. So get ready to shout out. Not yet. Let me read through them. Okay. So find your church and campus ministry. And how are you going to do that? The LCMSU, or email me. I'll give you my email at the end, and we will work together to find you a place, or talk with your pastor, talk with your youth group leader, but be attentive to this. Think ahead of time of where am I going to go to church that first Sunday? And parents and youth leaders who are here, it is your responsibility to help them. Please, please help them know where to go. As a brief little aside, I find that many churches are still stuck in this old, outdated model of go to college and we'll see you when you get back. And it's just not a good way to do ministry. And I know these even very large, successful congregations that have zero plan for their college students. They have everything else covered, but nothing for college students. You don't have to go to the college, but you can be very supportive to them. And one would be helping them find a church and campus ministry. Another is sending them cookies during finals week or Christmas time. The other is, reaching out to them during the year. I mean, there's a lot of little things that a youth group leader or a church or just lay leaders of the congregation can do. So find your church and campus ministry, find Christian mentors, or if you're an older student, take someone underneath you, invite your boyfriend or girlfriend to Bible study with you. This one got a lot of attention the last session when I was with folks, because it's so helpful for pastors. Love it when someone starts coming to Bible study and then they start dating someone, and bring that person with them as well. Now you've got two people coming to your Bible study. But it's a great way, instead of thinking about your faith with your romantic partner once you're engaged or something, start right away from the beginning. Invite them to be part of that explore your faith with them while you're dating. Take a classmate out for lunch. I shared about that. with the student who is an atheist. And then I love this one too. Call your youth leader who's with you in this session, if they're here with you. And if not, some of you like take selfies and then are sending a picture of like, here's the session I went to. Tell them that you've been asked to call them up. Maybe not at 2 a.m. in the morning, but you could do that. Call your youth leader, tell them what you learned, not here, when you're in college. I should have been more clear about that. When you're in college, it's like September, call them up and say, hey, here's what I learned, or here's what I was wondering about. Okay, so of these, I will do 3, 2, 1, and just shout out which one is, I don't know, the one that you want to do. We'll do it that way, all right? Which one do you want to do, okay? So I'll do 3, 2, 1, and then just shout out something nice and loud. We'll probably have to do it 2 or 3 times since people are kind of getting jazzed up, I can tell. All right. Ready? Everyone know what they're going to say aloud? Just shout it out. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Cool. I mean, that maybe didn't go quite how I expected, but it was good. All right. Well, anyway, I think these tips will be very helpful for you. And it's about building community, right? And we are about building community. All right, so that's the first one. All right, then I said, practice radical hospitality, all right? Do something super generous for someone, like right at the beginning of the school year, okay? And don't expect anything in return, but just do something that's, you know, within reason, but like, especially if it's your roommate. If you're like, I don't know if I'm gonna connect with my roommate, find a way to be like, come across as being a really generous and caring and supportive roommate right off the bat. That can be a pretty neat way. Take them out and do something fun with that. I have now here a slide of things you can do about more your faith life, right? So prayer. When in doubt, go to church. This is one of my favorite ones because it's something that my dad had told me to do and I did it. And it was very helpful for me. So when I was an undergrad, let's see, my first year in college, I was very confident. And, you know, I knew more than that atheist. The second year in college, I had been reading a little too much philosophy and was starting to have some major doubts. And my dad, it was great. I called my dad. He's a pastor. And he didn't try to answer everything for me. He didn't give me a long apologetical response to everything. He just simply said, keep studying, keep asking questions, and just go to church. And so there were Sundays where I was just kind of like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know if I believe this anymore, but I just stayed in church. And like, for me, it was just helpful to show up because it does actually work. God's word does not return empty, and it does actually shape you, and got me through a pretty rough patch as I was really struggling. Sophomore year for me personally was hardest. Freshman year was super fun. Sophomore year, I realized I was way overcommitted. I had a horrendous life of sleeping. I could not sleep very well. And then I was reading too much philosophy. And so I was just like, everything's falling apart. That was my shipwreck moment. But I still showed up for church. And nothing magical happened except simply I was there hearing the word of God. Learn one book of the Bible really well could be another one to do instead of learning all the scriptures. Pick one. Go to a church service in a different language. If you really want to share your faith with someone else and want to know what it's like on the other side, I think go to a church service that's entirely in a different language and see what you can learn, like what it's like to not know everything about the service. Can be a really helpful one, if like building kind of a skill set for sharing your faith. This one, I hope you guys like. Well, I don't know for the youth leader or for the leaders, but I had youth rebel. I'm not making this up. When I was a pastor in St. Louis, they wanted, after their year in college, they wanted a Bible study. And I said, we'll go to the youth Bible study. And they said, we are not. I'm like, why are you not going to the youth Bible? They're like, we are not. I'm like, you're just 1 year out, you know? And like, no, they refused to go to the high school because they were now college students. It's like, fine, go to the adult Bible study. We're not going to that. Because I'm like, well, why not? Because our parents are there. I'm like, oh, like, this is impossible. And I'm like, but it was a classic example. I had assumed that college was just going to be like its own thing. Right? It would take care of itself. Our church had nothing for college students. It had stuff for adults and it had stuff for youth. And so they demanded a Bible study. And so my wife and I did a whole summer long Bible study because that's when they were all back, right? They all came back after the first year. It was for everybody. But 1 year in particular, there was a pretty determined group. And we had a really great Bible study. So you might need to prompt your pastor and ask for that. Or if you're an adult leader here, take the initiative and say, hey, in this summer, when they're all coming back, we're going to do a Bible study. And I think ours, it wasn't every single Sunday in the summer. We did like 8 weeks. People came, you know, missed a handful of times because of travel. But my wife and I were consistent, and we just wanted to show those students that they had a place back at their church home. I mentioned the other one already to you before. Ask church to send you cookies during finals week. So that can be a really good thing to do. I have, oh, this is a further slide down the line, but I'm going to jump ahead to this one and then I'll go back. So living out, I have a category like living out your faith. This top one is really helpful. Whenever college students are sometimes, I did this when I was an undergrad, when you are feeling kind of discouraged, you should consider going and visiting a nursing home and offering, reach out to the like a pastor or chaplain, find a way to lead a devotion. Because they will love you if you leave. I mean, as a young, you will walk in there and they will think the world of you. And I did this and I got to know one of the chaplains. He was a Baptist chaplain. I don't think he really liked Lutherans very much, but he put up with me and I put up with him. And I did this talk. It was very short and it was Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And the whole message was essentially Jesus is your Good Shepherd. And I would stand over here and say, and we're like sheep and we need a good shepherd. And Jesus is your good shepherd. I mean, I went 5 minutes. I didn't know what I was doing. So that's all I said. And they loved it. I got hugs. They said that I was great. I came back feeling so just encouraged. So part of it is putting yourself in a position where you're going to be really encouraged and nurtured. And so I have this section here, share a devotion at an assisted living facility. It can be a great way to kind of be filled up and nurtured. Give away your money. Again, I'm trying to be like Cal Newport, who's one of the authors. He would always do radical things like this, like give away your money. You don't have to give away all of your money, but on one day, say I'm going to give something generously to some entity, can be a really neat way to kind of live a little bit differently, live into your life of faith. So I have make pilgrimages, add a Christian quote to your email, visit a children's hospital. But I want to end, or not end, but I'll go to this one here by going back, sharing the story, and then I will turn it to you guys for some Q&A. But one other thing you can do as you're thinking about your faith and thinking about your college experience is to pick an issue that you really care about and do something about it. So for me, this is a meaningful photo for me because I took it a year ago. It's with a young man named Nazeh Imana, who's like 25 now. And I had started sponsoring him with Compassion International when I was in college. And I could not afford the $26 a month, but somehow I found a way to make it work. And all the way through and sponsored him. And the reason I connected with him was because he was in Rwanda. And when I was a first year in college, we read the most horrifying account of a genocide that took place in Rwanda. 1994, so it was before all of you as youth were born. But it was a horrifying account. And I really didn't know what to do. And it kind of troubled my faith, too. I was like, how could millions of people be... I mean, they essentially were butchered with machete knives. I mean, it was just terrible. And so... The advice I got was, well, like you can't do everything, but you can learn about that issue. And I was in college. I had a vocation to be a student, so I could learn about it. And the little piece I could do was, in this case, I worked with Compassion International, and that was great. A year and a half ago, he's now out of the program, so there's no way to connect with these people anymore. I had sent all these letters. But I took students from Concordia St. Paul. We weren't even planning to meet up with him. We're to visit the Lutheran Church in Rwanda. So I have all these students from Concordia St. Paul. We're in Rwanda. And I wrote to the bishop of the Lutheran Church of Rwanda. And he sent out one of his vicars to the last known place I had sent this letter. And sure enough, I mean, the churches in Africa, they know everyone and everything. And sure enough, I got to meet him at a little schoolhouse, and it just was an extraordinary reunion of connecting with this person. But again, I highlight this now for you to think about, like, who do you want to be, and do something about it now, not at the end of college, but now. And college gives you a chance to really explore and do something kind of neat, and maybe connect it with something that you care deeply about. In this case, I was pretty wrecked over what I had observed happening in Rwanda. So for you, it will be something different, but find what you really care about and zero in on that and do something with it. So there's lots of different things we could talk about and places we can go, but we wrap up in 10 minutes and I'll say, we'll just try to take another 5 minutes or so to think through questions and answers that you might have about your faith in college or a tip that you would really liked or a tip you'd like to offer that has worked well for you. So let's just take a few minutes to ask some questions. As a professor, what's most helpful initially is for the student to find a way to to connect with you outside of the, I mean, professors love it when students reach out to you to talk about the course material. So that is what I would suggest first. There's a bit of a notion, and I know there's like, the God is not dead, like kind of reinforces what I'd say is not the only scenario you'll see in college that these professors like out to get you. It's overplayed in the film. Like that's, just, I mean, and I'm working at University of Minnesota and doing consulting with them. Like, you will find people are antagonistic to your faith. In general, they're not. They really just want you to be a good student. So I would say take good notes, try to learn what the professor is saying, and then meet with them some other time during their office hours or just after class and say, hey, can we have a conversation about this? You're not going to persuade them. They might not persuade you, but you can at least have a conversation about it. And I found that I was able to grow myself in this. There are things that I thought that, man, I just knew this and that this is the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's position on something. And then as soon as I got in college, it didn't change my position. But it did help me better understand how to make my position connect with where they were at. So for me, it's all about conversation. I shared a story in the earlier session today about when I was playing Ultimate, there was a guy on the team. He was like an astrophysicist type student, so super smart student. And he was like not enchanted with Christianity. He said something to me like, Mark, you do know that the Bible is written more than one language. And I'm like, yeah, it was written in like Greek and Hebrew, and I can do both of those. Like, I can speak both of those. Can you? And he was like, oh, no. But he was just, he was so like bombastic initially. And then as soon as I just said, like, well, no, like, of course, like that didn't rattle my faith that it was written in Greek and Hebrew. Like, I thought actually it made me better understand the Bible. That was news to him. And so then my approach usually is like, let's go out for lunch. So I learned my lesson as an undergrad. So I took him out for lunch and I said, like, well, let's talk about the Bible and let's talk about what your frustrations are. But sometimes I think we can be in this apologetic mode, meaning that I have to prove myself to that person. If the goal is to persuade them, start by hearing from them. If the goal is that you somehow have to prove a point, okay, like then apologetics is going to really let you stick a point. But I really think, again, clenched fist isn't going to get you very far, but an open hand is really going to make a big difference. All right. Well, I'll be around in the front here. If there's other questions, you can email me. It's my last name, cushman@csp.edu. It will be a few days if I get flooded with emails from here. But I will respond to you and just try to connect you with someone that I know. And hope you have a wonderful time at the gathering.